pictures of God's creation as we were singing. And then I was thinking, if only we all had the energy of Desi and the excitement about God as he has for guitars. When I just was laughing at him, he was just so excited when you started playing. He was inspired, yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could gather in your presence. It's because you that we're here. Help us connect with you this morning. Help all of us to do that. We want to learn from you. We want to be like you. We need you in our lives. We fail miserably at times, Father, and you still love us, and you pick us up, and you help us get back on our feet. And so we just pray, Father, that we would get it right one of these days, that we could just be like you as we minister to others. In your name we pray, amen. Did anyone here ever hear of a man by the name of Eddie Fainer? Eddie Fainer, back in 1946, got out of the Marine Corps, and he had a love for softball. And he had a talent, and he could pitch. And on a bet, I think, or a challenge, I should say, he started his own team. Originally, there were three, and then they added a fourth player because he figured out that if three of them were on base, there was nobody left to bat. So they had he pitched, he had a catcher, he had a first baseman, and a shortstop. And he called themselves the King and His Court. Have you ever heard of that? Anybody? Back in 46, they started playing, and they played for, I think, 50-some years, almost 60 years. And the players changed a little bit over the years, but they were kind of the Harlem Globetrotters of softball. And they would go and they would just play, like they'd come to Mannheim and they'd play a team of all-stars from the church league, we'd say. But it was fast pitch, and he was a good pitcher. And over the years, they played a little over 10,000 games. They won 9,743 games, a ratio of 12 wins to one loss. So they were not just entertaining, they were good at what they did. He pitched 930 no-hitters. And out of those 930 no-hitters, 238 of them were perfect games. That means he faced a minimum, no walks, no base runners. So he had to be pretty incredible. I watched some videos, and he was pitching between his legs, behind his back, even had a pitch where he got guys that would strike out where he pitched the ball into his glove. And they swung thinking a ball was coming. So it was pretty amusing. But I had to think of that. 1967, this is how good he was. They were playing a group of celebrity all-stars. It was a charity game. And he struck out six major league players in a row. Six. And here's who they were, if you think that's not impressive. This is Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Brooks Robinson, Roberto Clemente, Murray Willis, and Harmon Killebrew. I think most all of them are probably in a Hall of Fame. So he was good. But then as I thought about him, I had to think, how many of those games do you think he could have won if he was by himself? If it wasn't a team of four? How well could he have done? Zero. You're probably right. It would have been very difficult. And I had to think about, that's a little bit the way a church functions. We need to be working together. We need to have the same goal in mind. If a team is working together and half the team wants to go this way and half that way, it doesn't work too well, does it? And even like if you have a football team and the wide receiver wants to go this way and the quarterback wants to throw over here, it's not going to work. We have to work together as a team at church. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us. We can't do things by ourselves. It just doesn't work. Just as it wouldn't have worked for Eddie, it wouldn't work for us. So this morning, the topic is, as we go through Acts 2, we talked about, what did we do already? We did evangelism, and we did, someone help me? We're going to do teaching next week. We're doing fellowship this morning. We did teaching. Remember Mike had done teaching? So this morning is fellowship. And fellowship is, we're going to look at the scripture in Acts where a lot of these things came that the early church was doing. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, if you want to open your Bibles there. Joanne's going to read that, but let's listen. These are the things that were important to the early church when it first started.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing as a body too. But this morning we're going to talk about fellowship. So I wanted to ask you, what does fellowship mean to you? If you had to define fellowship, what would you say? This is your chance. This is not a rhetorical question.
Gathering together.
Gathering together.
Being together.
Eating. Playing guitar? Is that what Desi's trying to say? Webster says companionship, company, financial assistance. Like in academics, you apply for a fellowship and you would be a fellow. So if you have a specific field, you would get a scholarship basically and sometimes some extra money above your scholarship from people that have an interest in what you're studying in. Fellowship could be just a bunch of people getting together. Sometimes we call those associations. In the church, we have a women's fellowship. We have youth fellowship. We probably have men's fellowship. A lot of churches have what they call a fellowship hall, where you can go and get snacks or whatever, eat together, I guess, while you're fellowshipping. But what does it mean in Scripture here? Does anybody know what the Greek word is for fellowship? I think most of you would probably have heard it and know what it means. Koinonia is a Greek word. And so koinonia is used about 20 times in the New Testament, and this is the first time it's used. But some of the other ways it's translated in Scripture, it can be translated communion, contribution, sharing, partnership, fellowship, as it is in this scripture here, intimacy, participation. So that kind of helps us understand a little bit more about what it actually means when you look at the word koinonia. It's usually always a broader meaning. We just translate it fellowship, or it was translated fellowship here in this scripture. One of the things I think we all know is it takes more than one person to have fellowship, doesn't it? Anyone ever try having fellowship with just themselves? I don't think that would work. And I think the more often is sometimes is good too, as long as people are all working together for the same thing. And as I thought about fellowship, I thought, boy, this is really kind of a hard topic. What do you want me to preach on, Holy Spirit? But as I looked at this, I think fellowship is probably one of the most important things in the early church. Because if we looked at some of the things that were happening, we talked about evangelism, which happened in verse 41, when 3,000 were added to the number. Fellowship was important. The church had to be working together for that to happen. Teaching, I think it's important. Teaching is, we learn from one another. We'll get into that a little bit more. Worship. Isn't it better to come in here and worship on a Sunday morning with others instead of just worshiping by yourself at home? I mean, it just... Fellowship is important in all these things that were important to the early church, I believe. Prayer, I think it means a lot more when we gather together and pray together if we're doing it with fellowship. But fellowship involves seeking the life of Jesus Christ. Fellowship is a spiritual thing at times. But why do we need fellowship as a church? What are some of the things that are important about fellowship? What are some of the things we should be doing together as we fellowship. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." And I had to think of, when I read that, I thought if I'm a horse, I wouldn't like the word spur. But I think that helps us understand what it means when we're to spur one another. Sometimes it's not always something that's pleasant. It may be hurtful for someone to spur you on to do what you want, because you might want to be doing this, and God wants you to do this. We're to encourage each other in what God wants us to be doing. So two of the things we get out of this verse is that we need to express our love one to another, and we need to encourage each other to do good works. Those are two of the purposes of gathering together and fellowshipping. Jesus said in John 13:34-35, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So when we fellowship the way Jesus wants us to, when people that don't know the Lord or aren't Christians look at us, they should see a difference. They should see love amongst us. They should see that we're cohesive, that we have one purpose, that we're working for the same thing, that we all love Jesus Christ. And in my life, sometimes that's one of the more difficult things, because sometimes I want to do this and God wants me to do this. And it's not always, it's easy to do this, what I want. It's sometimes more difficult to do what God wants. But we need to be doing what Jesus wants us to do. We need to be serving him. And if we do that together, people are going to notice. And that's a witness. That's one of the purposes, of good fellowship. One of the meanings of koinonia is communion. So we need fellowship to have a good love feast experience. We need to have fellowship as a body so that when we get together to remember what Jesus did with us, we're doing it as a worshipful experience. It has more meaning, I think, if we all come together and do that. Fellowship is also important as we pray together. If we look at our scripture this morning in verses 44 and 45, fellowship, one of the things of fellowship is sharing and helping those that are in need, meeting the needs of others. And I think fellowship is needed to learn. In a body, God has some who are teachers. And so if those teachers are teaching, I'm going to learn something because they're going to teach me something. Sometimes someone who has experience, who's been through something I haven't done, can minister to me. I had to think of Larry when he had his heart attack. Did you talk to Barry before his surgery, Larry? Yeah. And that was helpful, Barry. That's one way that we minister in fellowship. And it always seems like no matter what you go through, there's somebody in the body that probably has been through that and can help in most cases. But that's an important part of fellowship as well, and teaching. And also, I think I learn a little bit from Scripture sometimes just in Sunday school when someone shares something from their perspective that I'm not even thinking of. It's kind of the same thing as how many times you read a Scripture and finally the Holy Spirit gives you something you never saw before in that scripture because you need it in your heart that time. Sometimes people can help. Holy Spirit can work through others in a fellowship and help us as we learn what scriptures are actually saying. I think another thing that we can find as far as what fellowship does for us is if we look at the one another's in scripture. There's, I think, 60 times that the phrase one another is used in Scripture. Here are some of those things. These are things I think we should be doing if we're fellowshipping. Love one another. Speak truth to one another. Encourage and build up one another. Pray for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Admonish one another. Be hospitable to one another. Accept one another. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to one another. Don't complain against one another. Confess sins to one another. Serve one another. Wash one another's feet. Don't judge one another. So when you read of one another, think of fellowship and what you, how you can fulfill that one another in your life. So that's a little bit of why we need fellowship. But how do we do fellowship as a church? What has to happen for fellowship to happen? Verse 46 in what Joanne read, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. For fellowship to happen, this is pretty simple, I think. Pretty simple, is we have to be together. We have to come together if fellowship's going to be done. In Scripture there, they were eating together, they were going to church together, they were worshiping together. In the same way, we need to be doing those things. One thing that I can share is how fellowship isn't done. I don't know if that's a good thing to do on a Sunday morning. But when someone talks about being your friend, it doesn't mean that you like them in Facebook. It's deeper than that. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he wasn't asking you to click on a little icon on some kind of social media site. There's a little difference there. Social media is destroying the meaning of what it means to be social. An illustration of that, a lady once told me who worked at Lancaster Mennonite High School. Now, it may have changed. I don't know when I was last in the school. But she said when you came to the high school and the students would come in, there was a big atrium, just a big open area where they would gather together in the morning before they would start their classes. And she said it was just noisy. They were talking all the time, and they would see each other in the morning, and they were catching up, and they were fellowshipping, and they were together communicating. And she told, I heard this maybe, she told me this 5 or so years ago, and she said now, 5 or 6 years ago, you can walk into that atrium, and you could hear a pin drop, and all the kids are doing this. They're not interacting, they're not fellowshipping. And so I'm not saying to get rid of these because they're kind of nice. I've learned to use my Bible in here, and I really kind of like that since I started doing it. But I still like this better because all my notes are in here. I'm not smart enough to put notes on my phone yet, I guess. Fellowship is not just a social activity. It should be a spiritual gathering when we come together. We're coming together with and in the Holy Spirit's presence. So when does fellowship happen? When does fellowship happen in our lives? Verse 46 says, every day. They gathered every day. And I don't think we need to go to church every day unless God asks us to do that. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost, there was a special moving. And people were coming to the Lord every day. There were 3,000 in one day saved, and they were meeting every day. They were coming together. They were sharing everything. Supernatural things were happening. That doesn't mean we shouldn't get together every day, but during the week, I often see numerous people from the body here. And fellowship can take place whenever we get together, when the men's group meet, when the women's group meet, when the life groups meet. It's a time of fellowshipping. The other thing that's important for fellowship to happen is I think we need to be committed. Do you think, I'm going to pick on Barry and Clean if that's okay. Can I pick on your mom and dad? Do you think Colleen asked Barry this morning, are we going to church today? Do you think that happened? And do you think Barry said, well, let me look out and see what the weather's like. I might want to go golfing if it's pretty nice. Do you think that happened? I'm pretty sure it didn't. But too easily, we're not committed to come together to fellowship. And I think at New Beginnings, we do a good job at that. We pretty much are here. And now, when you're on vacation, and sometimes that's a six-month vacation, but we understand. There's people missing this morning because they're away on vacation. But I had to think sports in school is a big thing today. And people miss Sunday mornings because they have to go to their kids' soccer tournament or softball tournament or whatever tournament. And I don't think that's a good thing because we're telling our kids what's more important, being committed to God or going to an activity that I want to do. And now, it wasn't a big problem in our family because our kids ran cross country, and Heather didn't, but she had concussions, so she couldn't take part in a lot of things. But in cross country, they're always short of kids. So when we said to the coach, hey, Wednesday night, our kids had Bible study, that was okay. Well, you need to run on the side. They didn't want to lose anybody, so it wasn't a big deal. But I realize that's a struggle with parents today. But we need to be committed. We need to be committed to fellowship. We need to be committed to gathering together. Verse 42, the scripture we read this morning started out. What were the first words? They were devoted. They were devoted. Or no, they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to things of God. And that's a reminder I need to do in my life. We need to be devoted to what Jesus Christ wants us to do. So I want to finish today with an illustration. I started with one, I'm going to end with one. And you may have heard this one before, but I think it's very appropriate. I want you to think back to when you became a Christian. And I want you to compare yourself to a charcoal briquette. When you became a Christian, you became part of a church. And did you ever have a charcoal fire? You have all the briquettes, you put lighter fluid on, you throw a match in, and they get hot. And if you want to cook something, the closer together those briquettes are, I think the more heat they put out. The closer together we are as a body, I think the more on fire we can be for the Lord. But what happens if you take that briquette, like if you take it and set it away from all the other ones? How long is it going to be till it starts getting cold and it's not producing any heat anymore? But if you put it back in, it'll catch fire again. I think church is a little bit that way. In a church that's dedicated to following the Lord, when you're together all the time, we should be on fire for the Lord. And if we go through stages in life where things just seem to be a little off, or we get away by ourselves, that fire goes out. So we need to encourage one another and be together. We need each other to do ministry. And we need to have one purpose and one goal, and that's to tell others about Jesus Christ. Point others to Jesus Christ. That should be our goal as a body. That should be the goal of our fellowship. John Wesley once said, I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. And I think what a challenge for us today. We need each other. We need each other for fellowship. And none of us are perfect here this morning. We all have our flaws. We all have sin in our life. We all have mistakes that we made. We all have things we need to work on. But isn't it amazing that God can take imperfect people, and when we follow him and when we come together in his presence, he can change us and he can use us in spite of all our perfections. In July, we're going to start a sermon series on people that God used in mighty ways who were not very good people. God took them and changed them, and he can do that to each one of us. And when we get to July, that's going to be a good time if you have some unchurched friends you want to invite for that series. But it's going to be focusing on people who God used in amazing ways who weren't very good people in life before God got a hold of them. God can take each one of us, and we can be a gemstone for him. He can use us. It doesn't matter what our past is. He can use us to bring him honor and glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, it's the last verse, says this: May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's what I want to leave you with today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I have a note in my Bible that I picked up years ago with that verse. And what I wrote down, it says, the grace of Jesus and the love of God never change. In our lifetime, that's never changed. Now, the time of grace will come to an end sometime. But for now, that doesn't change. We don't have to do anything to receive his grace. We don't have to do anything to receive his love. But fellowship with the Holy Spirit depends on us. We need to want to have that fellowship. We need to change our lives so that we can have that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I think we have a lot as a body to learn about fellowship. It goes so much deeper than we realize at times. And so help us to just catch a glimpse of what fellowship with you is really like. Help us to experience that, Father. Help us to want that in our lives and our hearts. Help us to want to work together to tell others about you. Give us an opportunity, each one of us this week, to share your love with someone we come in contact with, is what we pray, because we want to tell people about you. Give us the courage to do that. Help us to be willing to do that. Help us to go out of our way, Father, to do that. And prompt us at the right time. You know the hearts that need seeds planted. You know the hearts that are ready to hear the gospel. And so use us this week, Father. And thank you for the fellowship we have here at New Beginnings. And I just pray, Father, that would grow deeper, and that we would, as a body, grow closer to you, is what we pray in your name. Amen.